The scripture reminded them long ago, teach it to their children, every generation. Bind it on their fingers. Don't let it get away from them, the Word of God. Well, tonight, I really believe God has given me a teaching spirit upon my heart. But I always know the Holy Spirit can preach anytime He wants to. So you may have to deal with the cross between a teacher and a preacher. And I don't know what that is, but maybe it's a, I don't know, give me a word. What, a treacher, a preacher? I don't know. Mix those two words up. I can't come up with a good word to be a teacher and a preacher. But I want to ask the question tonight. You've heard the expression, how much does God love you? And somebody can hold out their arms and say this much, right? And we know that He's talking about the cross, where He showed us how much He loved us by giving His life. Well, I want to turn that around tonight, and I want to ask you this question. Do you love God this much? Do you love God this much? And we're going to have to get into the Word to find out how much is this much. So I want you to think with me tonight and ask the Holy Spirit to just open up your heart to be a learning disciple tonight and be a hearer of the Word of God. And if this would be a good time for you tonight to take notes, I believe this would be a good message tonight for you to take a few notes and be ready to study the Word of God together. Now, for a text part of the Scripture, I want you to open your Bible to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, and I want you to, when you get there, to stand with me for the reverence and reading of God's holy word. We're going to begin at verse number 28, and we're just going to read down through verse 34. But I want you to keep that thought in mind tonight. Do you love God this much? And here's the text. Mark chapter 12, beginning at verse number 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any question. Father, I thank you tonight. As you began to open up the very words of life to us, and you reveal to us what it is to love our Father God, we know how much you love us because you gave your life. We know how much God the Father loves us because he sent his only begotten Son. We know the power of your love because you were raised on the third day. You came out of the grave. But Lord, there's a question that you have placed inside your word unto us. Do you love God this much? You began to have a conversation about how the way is for us to love you. So, Lord, as we're here tonight, let us begin to dig into this word and this message and find out for ourselves, do we love you this much? We give you all praise tonight. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. The first thing that the scripture begins to bear out is something that we cannot forget in the time that we're living. Jesus answered and he said, the first thing of all the great commandment is, number one, you got to hear. He said, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. There's not multiple ways to get into heaven. There's not multiple religions that can get you to the throne of God. There's not several gods, but there's one God, made known by the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he began to tell Israel, listen, children of God, listen. Hear, that you might understand how it is to love God. You and I cannot effectively love God unless we first hear him. The Bible says that God is love. The Bible says that God first loved us that we may be able to love him. But there will not be any measurement of our love back to God unless we allow ourselves to hear what he is saying. There's one God. There's one Lord. There's one Savior. There's one way to heaven. There's one holy Bible. There's one holy word. There's only one. There's only one who went to the cross. There's only one who suffered and died. There's only one that God raised from the dead. There's only one that God said, in whom my beloved Son, I'm well pleased. There's only one that God allowed to walk on this earth and used him in a mighty way to show us the kingdom work of God. Number one, you got to hear one. You got to hear the most important thing in Scripture. The Lord is one. The Holy Spirit moves as one with God. Jesus lines up with the Word and the will of God. God the Father cares as much as the Son of God and cares just as much as the Holy Spirit moves upon us. They move in unison. They move together in one. When one blesses, they all bless. When one is there, they're all there. When you're in the presence of the Lord, it is the Trinity presence that is with you. It's God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost. When he blesses you, he is blessing you by all three of them combined to one. I can't explain it. I can't even understand it completely, but I know that God does not split himself apart, but God is one. The Bible says, hear, O Israel. Listen to this. So what's he telling us? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Well, as I began to do some studying and praying and asking God, Lord, you're going to have to explain this. God, you're going to have to help me understand. So I began to allow him just to minister, and he began to take me in some places, and he said, what is your heart? Your heart is the middle. It's the center of who you are. It's the place where the thoughts and the emotions reside all together. It's different than your mind, will, and emotions that are day by day, but in your heart is where it all settles in. Your heart is that place that David said, Father, create in me a clean heart, O Lord, that I might not sin against thee. There is something that you and I have to understand. When God says for us to love him with all thy heart, what is he saying? Keep your heart clean. The place where God comes in to dwell and sup with you and I is in your heart. It is the center of your being. It is the place where you're going to make your final decisions about what you're living like and what you're doing. And the affairs of everything that you touch and do are going to be centered on the thing of your heart. It has to be guarded. The enemy wants to get your heart. But he doesn't start there. He works in other ways to get to your heart. But God is saying, if you're going to love me the way that I love you, and if you're going to hear the commandment, then you've got to understand that you have to love me. Love the Lord thy God. Love me with all thy heart. So for a note that I'd like for you to write down, when you tell God that you love him with all your heart, be ready to repent. Be ready to let it stay clean. When the mistakes of your life begin to show up, if you're going to love God with all your heart, you're not going to just ignore God when his word tells you that this is wrong. You're not going to ignore the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit begins to whisper into your life and say, stop doing that thing that you're doing. But if you love the Lord thy God with all your heart, you're going to say, God, when the Holy Spirit begins to prick against my heart and tell me that I am wrong, then I'm going to find a place to repent, and I'm going to find a place to let you clean out my heart. Because if I don't clean out my heart, then I'm not serving and loving God with all my heart. I'm allowing my heart to be me. I'm allowing my heart to be what I want it to be. But God has asked us to have a clean heart. He said, when you allow me to clean it out, I'll get down in there and do the secret thing that nobody knows. But when you get serious with God and you say, I love him with all my heart, then you got to be ready to repent and keep a clean heart. So the next time you read in your Bible, what does it mean when God says, love me? He commanded us. He called it the greatest commandment. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Keep it clean. You know and I know when it's not clean. But what are you going to do when it's unclean? Be like David. Lord, create in me a clean heart, O Lord, that I might not sin against thee. Let me tell you, if you're still desiring to sin, then you don't have a clean heart. If you're not ashamed of the sinfulness of our lives, then you don't have a clean heart. You need to be ashamed in your spirit of sin. Yes, we fail, and yes, we fall, and yes, we make mistakes. But don't discredit it and don't just count on God to say, oh, he'll overlook it. No, he's not ever going to overlook sin. Never will he overlook sin. But he will give you a chance to clean your heart. The second thing that he says in Scripture, what does it mean to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart? Do you love God this much? Do you love him enough to repent every time? I'm not saying get saved every day. I'm saying repent every day that you sin. I believe God comes in the very first time you ask him into your heart. I believe that because he talks about new birth. He says, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. When Christ Jesus enters into you, he gives you new birth. And you become a new being. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. But even a new baby can make a bad choice and a bad decision and get an unclean heart on the inside. And God says, if you're going to love me this much with all your heart, stay repenting before my face. Be conscious of what the Holy Spirit is working in you. He's always going to find something. Because until the day we draw our last breath, God's working on us. And he's helping us. But ask yourself tonight, do you love God this much to give him all your heart? What does that mean? Keep it clean and repent as often as you need to. The second thing is, with all thy soul. Love the Lord thy God with all thy soul. You got to go back to Genesis chapter 2 to find the word soul. God had formed man out of the dust of the ground and he breathed into the nostrils the breath of life and man became a living soul. Man became a living soul. The soul is the place of you. That's the very breath that lives inside of you that would allow your will and emotion to give you a day-by-day routine of your life. The heart is more permanent. It's the deep place that resides within you, but in the soul place of your life. It's day by day and God giving you breath. Every breath you take is the breath that God gave to you. And the Bible says that He breathed life and man became a living soul. The problem with you and I in the soulishness of our life is that we had allowed the fallen nature of man to give us a life that is not any really breathing the breath of life, but we're breathing the breath of death. It's about your words. It's about your actions. It's about your attitude. It's about the emotions of what's going on in your life. Are you breathing the threats of the enemy on your brother and sister? Or are you breathing the blessings of God upon your household? Are you being a gossip and a worrier? Or are you practicing the faith and the things that God said for you to breathe the breath of life and have it in you? God has given you breath to breathe. Enjoy the breath that you got and begin to let your soulish man find out what it is to love God with your soul. It's day by day. It's that place where if your heart is not all to the Lord in the place of repentance, your soul will act out on you. If you've been in the altar and you've been asking God, forgive you, and God help you when I wasn't patient, and God forgive me when I was rude, and God help me when I missed it. If you don't have a prayer life, your soul is going to tell on you because the breath that you're breathing is going to be like the breath of the world. How many of you have ever been around somebody that's got bad breath? It's not much enjoyable. But that minty, fresh breath, you might just stay and have a better conversation with somebody like that. Have you ever read in the scriptures, in I believe the book of James, where it says bitter and sweet water ought to not come out of the same well? You know where he's talking about? He's talking about this tongue. You know, the tongue can't move without breath. And the breath of life that God gave you, He gave you something that the world needs to know, that the Lord Jesus is living in your spirit, because your speech is going to change. Oh, I love God with all my heart, but I'm going to cuss that next person out that cuts me off on the road. Your soul man slipped up on you. Oh, I love the Lord God with all my heart, but the next time that I get passed up for a promotion at work, I'm going to march into the office and give that manager a piece of my mind. Your soul nature slipped up on you. Oh, I love the Lord thy God with all my heart, but the next time the pastor begins to preach a message that I don't like, I'm going to pack my stuff and leave. Well, what about pastors? Do they ever get hit by the soul? Oh, yeah. I've had to repent. I've been short-tempered. I've been quick to place judgment. I've been weary and make a bad choice when I'm tired. But I thank God I know how to get my soul nature back under the blood. And so you have that opportunity tonight. What is it with all thy soul? Love the Lord thy God with all thy soul. That's your breath. how you breathing. Take a deep breath tonight. Just breathe in and then breathe out. Do you know that's good exercise? They say that if you got a problem with stress, if you'll take a few deep breaths, don't do it real quick, you'll get lightheaded. But if you'll just take a few deep breaths and then let it out. You know why? Because you're breathing. I mean, you're really deeply breathing, exercising your lung capacity, getting more oxygen through your blood. Do you know that the Bible says fitly spoken words are like apples in settings of silver? That's kind of a poetic phrase. But you know what? The sweet words will take you a lot farther than any harsh word ever will. Jesus knew that. He taught that. So I want you to think about how you're breathing. Practice your breathing. Because somebody's going to come up to you in this next few days and check out how you're breathing. They're going to get that blood pressure pumping. They might get that face to boil red. And one preacher I heard said it's like Tabasco sauce running up his legs. I can feel it. Shut it down before it gets in your mouth. And practice your breathing. Because that's where your soul nature is. If you don't, your emotions are going to drive you away from God. So do you love the Lord God this much? Do you love Him enough to give Him repentance and keep your heart clean? Do you love Him enough to get into your daily breathing habits? Wow. I thought I loved God, but I haven't thought about Him being in my breathing every minute, every hour. Well, that's what he's talking about. He gave you the breath of life to breathe. You know how we can breathe on this world? We can give them the gospel. Breathe it on them. Tell them Jesus loves you. Tell them He died for your sins. Tell that rebellious child the story of the prodigal, who had a father with arms waiting to come home, and the celebration that took place. Tell them and keep breathing on them. See, I think what the enemy's doing is he's making us hold our breath. I'm just waiting for the Lord to come. I can't hardly make it. And we're not breathing. But breathe out on the world. Jesus loves you. He paid a price. Breathe faith. My God can do anything. They had a conversation in the scripture. Jesus talked about the rich. He gave it in a parable and he talked to them and told them about the rich young ruler. He walked away with sorrow in his heart because God spoke to him and said, If you really love me, sell all your goods, give to the poor, follow me. He walked away sad. He had many good things. Then the disciples paid attention to what Jesus said, because Jesus went on to say that few rich will be able to enter into the kingdom of God. He said, as a matter of fact, it would be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into heaven. But then he goes down and he says, and the disciples said, well, Lord, who can enter in therewith then? And Jesus said, with men it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. Amen. All things are possible with God. Yes. He can be in your breathing, help you to have the right words. Do you love God this much? Number three is with all thy mind. Love the Lord thy God with all thy mind. This is the place of deep thoughts, imaginations, and understanding. Psalms 1 is a verse of scripture that you can put beside that. I want to read that to you. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Here's verse 2. But he delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And then verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Get out of the path of the scorners and the mourners and the complainers. Don't walk in their counsel. The counsel is their language, their thoughts that they're putting in your head, their ideas, their philosophies, their ways of living. Get away from that, the Bible says. Don't stand in the same place that the sinners stand. They're talking about filth. They're talking about foul things. They're talking about unholy acts. They're talking about the pleasures of the flesh. They're talking about all these things. Don't stand in that path, and don't be with the counsel of the ungodly. Don't sit in those places. But the scripture goes on and says, do you love God this much? Do you love him enough to let him be the center of your heart, where you keep it clean and you repent? Do you love your God this much with all your soul that you'll let him get in your day-to-day living, because that's what breath is, day-to-day living, where your emotions can flare up and shoot off fireworks on you, and you got to decide quickly, am I breathing the breath of life, or am I spewing out the death of this life through the curses and things that the enemy would want me to do? Then with all my mind, do I love God this much with all my mind? Separates you from church, separates you from those corporate studies. Now you're meditating. Now you got to do some digging and some thought-provoking thinking on your own. Now you got to be one-on-one with the Lord, his word, and the Holy Spirit speaking to you and letting the meditations of your heart be day and night. When God begins to give you some revelation, meditate on that word. When God begins to stir up your spirit, get in there and stay and let it begin to be the imaginations of your heart. Think on God. Oh, I love God enough to give him Sunday morning, but I'm not going to give him my thoughts on Sunday afternoon. I love the Lord thy God. I surely do. I want to go to heaven. I want his blessings. But if I've got to keep track of my thoughts, do you know the scripture says that we're to cast down every thought and imagination that exalts itself above God? Who's to cast it down? You and I. How are you going to cast down an ungodly thought that's trying to elevate itself higher than the word itself? Well, there's a principle that you need to learn. It's called what I'm going to give it the title, the replacement principle. In other words, if you've got a glass of something that the world's serving to you, dump that out and let Jesus fill up your cup with something good. If you've got sin in your heart and he takes it out, replace it by getting in the Word. If you've got some bad thoughts in your head, replace it with the Word of God that gives you good thoughts. Think on these things. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are holy, whatsoever things are of good report, think on these things. What's he saying? Is he saying go and hear every sermon you can hear by somebody else? No, he said you think on these things. Think on these things of God. Get in this thing and think about the Word. Meditate on it day and night. Allow your thoughts to get involved with the things that God is saying in the church. Think on these things. Ask yourself privately, how much am I thinking on God's word? Do I stop listening to his word right after the message is preached? Or will I allow the Holy Spirit? Because listen to me, church. God said this is the greatest commandment, to love thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. If God said it's the greatest commandment, then you and I need this message to echo inside of us day in and day out, so that we never forget that I'm to love God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. So this isn't one we ought to let get away. But will you meditate? Do you love God this much? Do you love God with all your heart, the center and middle of where every thought, every emotion comes to form together? And you got to make a choice. Keep it clean. Repent. With all thy soul, am I going to let God get involved in my breath and my breathing, my day-to-day living? Or am I going to live for myself on Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday, and only give God permission to breathe the breath of life on me on Wednesdays and Sundays? No, we need to let God be in our soulless nature. He will override the wickedness of our fallen nature, and He will give us the strength that you and I need to let our soulless man line up, and you can have authority over the flesh through the power of Jesus. Then do you love God this much to meditate on Him? Delight in the law of the Lord. Meditate day and night on the things of God. Want to go on to number 4 tonight. Bible says, love the Lord thy God with all thy strength. And God really gave me something on this one, because, you know, when you first think about strength, I think about the might, the power that I have. This is what God showed me. When you love God with all your strength, this is what how you love Him. You surrender your own heart's desire. You lay down your will and emotions, and you accept the mind of Christ as your way of thinking. I want to say that again. You need to write these down. Can you take her out? With all thy strength. This is what I want you to write down. What does that mean? Will I love God this much to surrender my own heart's desire? Will I love God this much to lay down my will and emotions? Will I love God this much to accept the mind of Christ as my way of thinking? That's talking about all your strength. Do you know how you give God all your strength? You give yourself up. Let me show that to you in the Word. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul got it. He didn't get it right away, because he prayed 3 times When the Bible said that he had this thorn in his flesh and he prayed three times, sought God three times, remove it. God said, we know the part where he says, my grace is sufficient for thee. But we need to hear the other part. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So when you and I say that we love God this much and we say, I love God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, and with all my strength, what you're saying is all my strength I'm going to give up and become weak that I may become strong in him. So how do you love God this much? Surrender your heart's desire. Do you know that you and I probably have had great dreams in our own hearts? God knows that's there. We're taught from a young age, especially living in America, dream a big dream and go after it. That works until you find God. And sometimes God will say, if you love me this much, then you'll give up your dream and your heart's desire and let me place you where I want you. I had a dream. We bought us a place in the country. I was raised up with grandparents that both had farms, small farms, cows and chickens, geese, corn and beans. Gardens. And somehow that dream got inside my spirit that one day I wanted a place like that. I wanted a place where I could finish raising my family and they could come to a place known to them as a homestead. Bring the grandkids. Play in the barns and run loose on the ground. I had a dream that God would help us to build a restoration home to where other ministers and other families could come out on a weekend and have some lodging on our property and enjoy the country air and get away from the busyness and the routines of city life. See the bright stars at night with the open sky. Have a meditation walking garden around the pasture with little places to sit. Have a movie screen inside the barn where you could sit on hay bales and watch good, moral family movies that were just good family fun. Serve homemade popcorn. Get them up on a Saturday morning and let them help us with our daily chores and feed them a good old-fashioned home-cooked country breakfast. And one-on-one find a way to just be there to tell them about Jesus when the time was right. Had that dream. We invested. Put everything we had. And it was there that God began to speak. That was a place where we lost many things. We grew so many ways. Well, Pastor, was you out of God's will? I don't believe so. Did we get to see that dream fulfill all the way? No. But one night, I can tell you that as I was really having my struggle with the Lord over so many, many things, My heart was breaking because I wanted to see that dream. I can't tell you the night, but I can tell you that I had a couple of special places that I would go out and talk to the Lord, try to hear His voice. One night while I was out there, I heard the words of the Lord come into my spirit, and He said this: "Your dream is good, but there's not enough time." It gave me a clear message that He said, "I want you to get busy with where I need to put you and what I'm asking you to do." Not many months after that, we moved to Bloomington. And little by little, God began to prepare us for ministry to where we are today. But I was living a heart's dream, and it wasn't working. See, God says His love message is more important than any of our heart dreams. Get the word out. Be used where He wants us to be used. I'm believing someday God's going to honor that dream. If the Lord tarry long enough, I believe He'll give us a little 3-acre farm somewhere. And that's in His timing. Right now I'm doing His work. So my dream's changed. I'm not the only one that's given up a dream. But I'm telling you that if you love God this much, surrender your heart's desire. Let Him talk to you. Lay down your will and emotion. We get sensitive about a lot of things. This one point I'm not ever going to budge off of. And I could use some nasty words and start talking about political parties. I'm not going to change off of this political party view. Lay down your emotion. Lay down your will. Vote how God would say vote. Do what God would say do. And then get in His word and find out, did you know the simplest mind that Christ had was this: not my will, but Thy will. That's what He said. Are you there? Am I there? Surrender your will and your emotion. I'm telling you, emotions are a hard thing to get under control. They're like the wild horse in us. As soon as somebody steps on your toes, your reflex doubles up a fist. That's your emotion. Because Jesus had control of His emotions and said, if someone slaps you on the cheek, you turn the other cheek. That's a man that had his emotions surrendered. He told Peter, I believe it was Peter, put away your sword. You live by the sword, you die by the sword. And Jesus said, I don't live by that sword, and I'm not dying by that sword. I live by the sword of the love of God. He came loving us. He died loving us. He rose loving us. Nothing changed. Do you love God this much with all thy heart to keep your heart clean? Do you love the Lord God this much to give Him your breath every day? Do you love God this much with your mind that you will actually take in His word and meditate on it day and night? Let it dwell there, speak to you. And then will you love Him with all your strength, which means lay it down. Surrender your heart's desire. Lay down your will and emotions. Accept the mind of Christ as your way of thinking. The last thing I want to talk about tonight is part of this great commandment that says, love your neighbor as herself. Luke chapter 10. Jesus tells a parable. A man comes to him, and this is the part that's not a parable. He asks a question. How can I have eternal life? Church, that's a very important question. How can I have eternal life? Jesus went through the commandments. He got down to the one that said, love thy neighbor as thyself. And the man came back to Jesus and tried to qualify it and say, who's my neighbor? Well, you know this about how we've talked about the Good Samaritan. He fell among thieves, stripped, wounded, and the Bible says left half dead. So if you're half dead, you're not really moving on your own very well. You need help. A priest, the Bible actually says by chance, so I'm going to use the Bible's words, by chance, came upon this man. But when he got there, he crosses to the other side. And I began to think about that. When you see someone in need, I'm talking about when you come up on this, and you see a need. Now, the priest was someone who could have met that need. He had the whole church behind him. If he personally didn't have resources, he could have went before the church. They could have took him in. But he didn't do anything. He went on the other side. Sometimes we get into this story and we think that everybody's needs are mine to take care of. No, the Bible set it up this way. It said, by chance the priest walked by. He had an opportunity. It was a need right there for him. He went to the other side. He didn't love his neighbor. The Bible says a Levite, who's of the household of the church, responsible for many of the things that go on in the church, the tribe of Levi, house of Aaron, they had their responsibilities. They worked with the priest. He also had opportunity to care for his needs. He also went on the other side, passed by. Says they passed by on the other side. Samaritan. Samaritans were the half-breeds. Weren't really accepted by anybody. He came by. Sees this man. Stayed on the same side of the road. Gave up his own. My Bible in King James translation says, gave up his beast, his horse, whatever it was. Put the man on it. Takes him. Well, he cares as much as he can there. Pours in the oil and the wine. Does what he can. Takes him back. Gets him to an innkeeper. Further allows him to recover. Do you know what I saw in that? Not only did he tend to the man's wounds, but he gave him a resting place. Do you love your neighbor enough to not just meet a need, but let them have a time to rest and get into a place that will let them fully rest? That's a deep challenge. There used to be a day when people would allow strangers into their living room and sit in their chair, prop up their feet, drink their same glass of tea and same glass of lemonade, serve them the same pie and same meal that they eat. Now, I understand where we are today because the world is very wicked. But we need to trust God and lean on Him. And if we have this opportunity, there might be a day that you can invite someone that's a stranger into your home. Now, I have to tell you tonight, you're going to have to trust the Lord on that. Because I'm not putting your life in danger in the natural, and you need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. What is Jesus saying? He called it the greatest commandment. And it all went together. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Love the Lord thy God with all thy soul. Love the Lord thy God with all thy mind. Love the Lord thy God with all thy strength. And love thy neighbor as thyself. Let me give you a challenge, and I'm challenging myself. The next time you see someone in need, instead of giving them crackers and a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, give them a meal that you would like to eat. I don't know where I heard it, but I remember one place that works with poor and homeless people. They talked about if you want to help their dignity, don't let them use plastic silverware, but give them a real fork, a real spoon, and a real plate. And let them know that there's something there for them. Because subconsciously we throw the papers away, we throw the forks and plastic stuff away. But do you know some poor people don't even have a cup that they call their own? And you know how much of a blessing it could be to give a homeless person their own cup, their own fork and spoon and knife and a plate. And no matter where they find their food, they can just sit and have the meal on a plate and drink from a cup. I don't know why I shared that, but maybe the Lord will use it. Jesus let the disciples drink from His cup. So I'm closing tonight again with just the same question of the message title. Do you love God this much? I thought I loved Him. But you see, there's a lot of room in this book for us to keep growing in the love of God. I can tell you that I'm not there loving God that much yet. But I can tell you I want to get there. The world is so full of hatred. What would this world do with a bunch of Christians breathing the real love of God back on them again? Why don't you bow your heads with me? Lord Jesus, You taught us a great thing. See, what we might not fully understand is that's how much You loved us. You loved us with all Your heart. Never one day did You not give Your heart to us. You loved us with all your breath while you were on this earth. Even while you were still a young lad and you were separated from your parents, you were back at the temple breathing the breath of life. And you kept doing it. Every time a question came, every time a need arose, when you saw them, you had compassion on them. When you came across the need, you met the need. God, let us sit tonight and hear the very beginning of the message. God is one. Hear, O Israel, what these great commandments are. As a church and as a believer, Lord God, let this stay with me. And every day, let me ask myself the question, do I love my Lord this much? As oft as the Holy Spirit would remind me, take me back to let me see how much I love you. You told us in the Word, go back and do your first works over again. Fall in love with my Lord to where you'll turn and follow all the days of your life without looking back. God, help us to love you this much. Just before we dismiss together tonight, while we're praying, I want to ask if there's someone here that would just simply say, I need special prayer tonight. Whatever the need might be, I want you to be able to come to the altar, receive from God. See, He loves you enough to pour out His best gift on you. So if there's a need tonight, I simply want to pray to a God that I know who loves us. We'll trust Him to meet that need. So if that's you tonight, would you come? If there's someone here tonight that is backslidden and fallen away from God and wants to come home, I want you to come to the altar also tonight. Love God that much that you'll get out of your seat. Come down and stand at the place of the altar. Let Him see your faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I love you. Now, thank you. So you brought us right back to that spirit of peace. Thank you, Lord. Is there anyone else tonight that would just want a simple touch of God's love on them? Hallelujah. We're going to dismiss here in just another minute. I sense His presence, His goodness. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Could we just stand together? If you love God tonight, would you just simply lift up your hands and worship Him? Give yourself. God, you really are the potter, and we're just the clay. Lord, tonight you've begun to mold us. You're making us. Taught us great in your word, what it is to love you and how much. We see, Lord, that there's much to work in our spirit yet. But God, you'll give us the steps and the strength to do it. Help us to love you this much, with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength, to love thy neighbor as thyself. We thank you again for blessing and moving upon us tonight, for you've spoke to us and said that you're with us tonight. You've desired and you dwell in our praises. Father, we just close our service thanking of you, lifting up the name of Jesus that's higher than any other name. With our own will, we choose to bless you, reverence you, cherish your words. Bring us back to another safe hour of time to worship and praise. Help us to meditate on your word this week, Father. And Lord, if there be an opportunity to love a neighbor, give us that encouragement to do so. We give you all of our praise tonight in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless each of you tonight. You are dismissed.